Welcome to the CBS in Days edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, flag on the play. Eric Braeden isn't leaving YNR after all. Brad is shot on As the World Turns. Forrester Creations is swallowed up by Spencer Publications on Bold the Beautiful. And Carly hits Salem on Days of Our Lives. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Don't cry for Eric Braeden, Genoa City. James, welcome.
Hello.
Jillian, welcome.
How do?
Okay, we just got to dive into it. Eric Braeden, Jamie, you said that he would resign on the podcast a while back when he said he would walk away and everything. He did. Kudos to you. And what impressions.
Who wanted to be right about that? I mean, no, I mean,
Stevie Wonder could see that.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't some, yeah. Anyway, nah, I did my rant last week. All I'm going to say is much ado about nothing. You know, I don't understand why these actors feel they need to do this to fight their battles out in the press. I heard from very reliable sources that Eric Braeden never left discussions with Sony. There was never a time when they weren't in negotiations. That Entertainment Weekly piece, from what allegedly I've heard, was just what Stevie Wonder could see it for it was. An elaborate plot, better than the soap plots, to drum up this reaction that we've had. You know, oh my God, soaps are dying. They'll die without Eric Braeden. Yeah, that's what it. That was what it was hoped to accomplish, and I guess it did. I am a fan of the character, so I am glad that he is sticking around. I don't think the show would have been hurt without him, simply because they have made all roads. It's just like GH. You know, when you stop making shows ensembles, you stop. You know, you create these monsters. And YNR does tell stories for the rest of their canvas. But, I mean, right now we're seeing it more than ever. Victor has done all these unspeakable things, yet no one is really allowed to take him to task. He's, you know, it's been rumored from reliable sources for decades that, you know, Eric won't play certain things, will play certain things. And I'm sorry, I just don't find rampant runaway ego intriguing or amusing, and there are plenty of journos, fans that will say that he deserves to be this. Well, I'm sorry, it's just soap operas, and I don't believe anybody deserves to just dictate and run amok, and it seems like YNR creates more of this type of behavior per capita than any soap. It's like, enough. The soaps are dying. Get over yourself. Go to work. You know, he does the whole, are we friends? No, are we friends? Who? Okay, so you're a tool on the set. Fine, we get it. You got your money. Maybe we can all move on. Now, in terms of what they're going to do to fix this character, it's very similar to what you see when GH is about to have somebody in negotiations. And I really wish they wouldn't have had Victor do. Because, you know, the Abbott-Newman feud went from being a corporate power struggle battle between two arrogant guys to now being a blood feud. And I just don't think that was ever Bill Bell's vision for this rivalry to end up being some Cassadines versus the Spencers GH tower where people are dying and, you know, there's murder and mayhem and macabre. I don't, you know, now you have to basically, but I mean, it'll just be brushed under the rug. I mean, because Phyllis can't say anything to him, you know, Paul, you know, will get to fuss at him a little bit, and then he takes, you know, the scene is written for Victor to still win. It's just like, I don't enjoy that. I hope that they fix that. I'm glad that Eric is staying, but I'm going to be honest. I knew he would come back, but I was looking forward to a brief reprieve from how dare you. How dare you say this to me? I killed I don't care that I killed a little girl. How dare you talk to me like this? I will have you ruined. I will kill you. I will destroy you. I will destroy everyone. And then two women, oh, but we want you. We want you so much. Oh, but we want you. Smack me in the head. Pee in my hair. Throw me on the rocks. I mean, enough. I mean, people say this about Sonny. Sonny at least has a sparkle and a smirk. And
only dimples.
I mean, I wish it were you who were in there on that table. I mean, it's like, I don't understand, but this is manufactured. This is like Nickelodeon with their pop stars. If you put them out there enough, people will really think Miley Cyrus has all this buzz. I mean, Eric Braden is talented, but let's just be real. He has the help of the fact that the writing has to do certain things to make sure Victor wins at all times, and he has the full-on PR support of the major magazines that cover the industry.
Well, that's
putting him right up there up at front when you get your women's first magazine to learn about how you can cut out carbs and lose 32 pounds in a day. His face is the only soap face you're ever going to fucking see up there. So, of course, he gets to get all this pomp and circumstance when he doesn't want to take a pay cut. More than Deirdre Hall, more than Susan Lucci, but those ladies had class and didn't go running to everybody and giving 7 exclusives. You know,
as I put on Facebook, I wonder if what really got him to re-sign was the fact that the magazines were willing to agree to him also be appearing on the back cover too.
Well, that's a negotiating chip, obviously, because he said that. I think the first one was Michael Logan, the first exclusive. I am very proud of the number of soap opera. I was like, oh, Eric, you really just lost me. You really. At first, I was kind of on the fence because, you know, I don't agree with. I agree wholeheartedly with what Sony is doing because it's business. It's common sense. This is a corporation who is in the business to make money. They make money by getting these shows licensed. Their fees were cut. So they had a meeting where they said, we need everybody to take one for the team. He did not even attend the meeting. So this, I was blindsided. Bullshit. They announced it on the set that day and you weren't there. It's like when you get your report card and you find out you have a D and then you go talk to your teacher and you say, well, I didn't know I had to do a report on Shakespeare. Yeah, you did. You were sneaking around and smoking in the boys' room when I gave out the assignment. Yes, everyone knew that you were going to have to take a pay cut. Yes, they probably just went ahead and did that email thing because they knew what they were going to get. They knew that it was going to be blustering.
They probably didn't.
Well, yeah, he just found out what Jamie did in the bathroom, smoking dope during high school.
Anyways. I said a cigarette. See, why the black man got to be smoking dope?
I thought you said dope. Sorry.
No. You know, I mean.
I don't care. I mean, this is how I feel. Obviously, there are a lot of people who don't agree with what I feel about it. But I don't have any sympathy for this. These shows. We can't say it enough. The shows are about to go off the air.
Well, he said it himself in that interview. He said it himself.
And he's always talking about capitalism and how wrong it is and this and that. Well, you obviously agree with some of the principles of capitalism because you don't want to take the cut. Or wait, let me rephrase that. I offered to take a cut to show the example. Yeah. If my job is like, I'm not going to go in and tell my boss my salary. You know, yeah, you can suggest, but it's like Sony obviously saw what they felt they could do. But you know what? It's over and it's done with. And I just hope the show improves and they can get back to writing, you know, to a lot of the buzz and, you know, and well-deserved buzz of what Maria did when they first took this show over. Because it's, you know, it's hit some bumps, and it, you know, maybe we can get through some of this backstage tomfoolery and get a decent hour of television back on the, you know, it's starting to shape up into that, I believe. You know, a lot of the Sturm und Drang changed and, you know, kind of lightened up this past week, so. Well, we'll see, but I mean, I just feel Victor needs major atonement, and that won't happen because you can't atone a character that isn't allowed to show remorse. So what's the point? It's just going to be more of, how dare you, I will destroy you. It's like the donut lady comes over and brings him a cream filled instead of fucking strawberry. How dare you? You do not know who I am. I will destroy you and ruin your life. I mean, At least JR used to get bested every once in a while. You know, this, I'm sorry, this, just watching Victor win over and over and over again and everybody in town burst into tears when they're trying to confront him. Phyllis Romelotti would have ran him over with her car. I'm sorry. Phyllis would have went in there and yanked the ivy out of his neck for hurting her child. I'm sorry. This is lame. If there's,
well, you saw what she did. You saw what she did to Deacon when she found out who Deacon was. Yeah, she clocked the shit out of him.
She caused her child to be brain damaged. Paul,
well,
is
no, not really, because according to her, you know, Summer is on. You know, by next year, Summer will be fine.
It would be better if he recovered in 15 minutes. These people should want Victor's blood. And
it shouldn't really be a who shot Victor. This could have been a really good who shot Victor.
The only people that they really let act that way are the Abbotts, and they're written as, like, obsessive about him or this and that. And it's like, oh, bull crap. He's been the one obsessing about their family since the dawn of the age. It's like, you know, he's upset that Jack was born into wealth, and so he goes after him. It's like, and well, and Jack definitely has his issues with him, too, but it's like, so what? So what? I mean, it's like there is no motivation to always make Jack the tool and Victor, you know,
the hero.
Well, hero, you know.
Well, you know what?
Actors. They are both matched actors. I'm sorry. Peter Bergman is an amazing actor, and they should write the show equally. They have two great leading men, and they should do that. I'm tired of the Victor Newman show. Now, that's just me.
Jillian, I want to ask you two questions. First, what do you think of this whole thing? And then secondly, do you think that Eric Braeden will suffer a similar type of thing that Luke or Anthony Geary has suffered in the last year or so because of the I walked away and now he's all of a sudden back and all the exclusives? Do you think that this has hurt Eric Braeden with fans the way that Anthony Geary suffered with fans in the last year?
Well, no, I think he and Anthony Geary are two different sides of the coin, but I do think that his whole, that the interviews, if people take out the fan perspective of, oh, I love Eric Braeden, I love the character, if they take the fan perspective out and read it as a new viewer, you would see what an arrogant ass he was in those interviews when he said, oh, I don't take well to confrontation. You confronting the director trying to find out, is this Tucker guy my replacement? Please, I should have been that director that day. That's all I got to say about that. You know, this whole, you know, being confrontational, hostile, when everybody has to take a pay cut, and only because Sony sent you an email. They probably sent an email because look at how he acts when they decide to, you know, he acts like an asshole when they want him to do something.
I mean,
something.
They might have thought he might start a fist fight on the set, you know?
Well,
you
know, considering, not only that, but if you find that video that's out there about him threatening the photographer,
they
might have been worried.
No, but, you know.
If you were a man, I would punch you in the face. I mean,
yeah,
this type of behavior is gonna go unchecked as long as they keep letting it go unchecked.
You know, I wish.
No, but it's like
I wish in the contract, I wish that someone, that a writer or somebody, just slipped in there and said, "And you're gonna let us do our job." And that's right. I'm sick and tired of hearing. I like the character of Victor. That is my dog. But for me to be like, after all these years, and be like, you know what? Enough. Because I'm just sick and tired of him always getting the last word. Always. You saw what happened when Ashley went into the room and tried to get the ranch from him, and she told him about the christening. He gives her attitude.
Give a damn about the Abbotts. You just killed one. I mean, seriously. You know,
you pretty much allowed her to go batshit crazy because you wanted to stick it to Jack and prove to Jack that you knew best. I didn't like that whole thing. It's like he always has to be right. It should be a situation where he is an outcast. It should have been a situation where Victor, it was a who shot.
And let me
Victor.
Just say, because we'll get accused of confusing the character with the actor. In this situation, no, we're not, because it is documented out there.
He said it in an interview with with the New York Times, that when they, you know, he doesn't like it if they try to. He said it in the New York Times. Y'all look it up. He said, I'm going to paraphrase it, but they asked him about Victor, and he said that he insists upon them letting Victor keep his money because that's his power, and without that, Victor's nothing. I'm like,
so you
know,
you tie any creative type that comes in to try to do anything, you tie the, and this happens on other shows. There are other actors out there doing this shit too. And it's like, I don't know why any of the head writers put up with this. There
I don't know
to be
why
a
either.
Situation of like James Riley, where, you know, you just tell these people goodbye. I'm sorry. I don't care how popular an actor is. They should not be allowed to say what they will and won't do and how this character. You're not the character. Maria Bell is the character. If she's writing it at that time, it's her. Victor. She's Victor Newman. Whoever is behind the keyboard is who the character is. The characters spring from the head of a writer. It's a collaborative process. Yes, the actors help create the characters, but I'm sorry, you know.
On movie sets, they don't put up with that shit at all. So I don't
think. Well, and when they do, what's his name gets a video, or what's when the actors
act out?
That was
different. No. That was different. That was different. No,
who,
I know.
Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was different. But because someone walked in his whatever. But no, that was different. But no, I'm saying like on Hollywood sets, you always see, you know, so and so. Let's say Jamie is a movie star in Hollywood, even though Jamie is Hollywood. You know, let's say Jamie is doing a movie and they call for Jamie to do something, and then you always hear he was up for this role, but he left the role due to quote unquote creative differences. That's AKA Jamie wanted to play it this way, and the writer said, fuck you, we'll cast someone else and we'll just make it look like, we'll just put a good spin on it.
And you know, I'm gonna be honest, when these soaps were doing damn good, I'm sure you could deal with a lot of that. But I think a lot of them haven't caught on to the fact that they're all lucky to even still be on the doggone air. So don't nobody have time for divas and devos and hissy fits in the press and trying to lobby the fans. The fans don't sign no checks at Sony. If they did, the fans don't run nothing. It should be that way, but they don't.
Deidre Hall and Drake Hogeston, Sony said,
you know,
bye.
I mean,
so.
Like, these are businesses, and I don't think that they're always well-run businesses by any stretch of the imagination, but they're not going to do something. They're not going to say, oh, okay, well, the show's budget got slashed, and we're hovering around a 3.6, but yeah, we're still going to just pay them because, yeah, the fans
That's
think...
That's Eric Braden! That's Eric Braden, yeah.
So, like, so, Jamie, where does this leave Melody Thomas Scott? You blogged about her last week after a rumor surfaced.
Well, she's, from what I gather, all Melody wants is a contract. Same song, different, you know, stanza, and... From what you hear out there, they aren't. They might want to keep Mel on recurring, and she's not going to take that. I don't know. You know, it changes from every minute. I would assume that they will eventually end up offering her a deal, especially now. I mean, you know, and that right there is just, you know, the fact. And I know that usually this would be a time for the fans to. You know, I'm going to defend Sony here. I'm not saying that's a dumb move. You don't put her on recurring. But I think that this really points to, and I, you know, I'm the biggest freaking drama queen when it comes to attacking and, you know, but I'm sorry. There obviously has to be something going on here that we're not privy to in terms of just trying to keep these shows on the air. Because I don't think Sony's stupid enough to say, we're just going to get rid of all the popular people. It might be a situation where this is the only way we can justify to our board of directors and shareholders keeping these programs in production when they are shedding viewers left and right. I mean,
it makes sense.
You know, I mean, and yeah, everybody, Wynosh ratings are up lately, but in terms of the diminished advertising revenues because of this recession and the slashed licensing fees, they are in danger too. And you live in a fantasy world if you don't know that, or if you're supporting these diva tantrums and behavior. That's just my opinion.
If you read between the lines, you can see that Mel is, she re-signed her little contract. Well, I should say little, but she re-signed a short contract to see what Eric does. And on the one hand, I can see why she did that, because let's say if it was a situation where Sony bowed out to his demands and was like, okay, we're not going to give him a pay cut.
Exactly.
But they gave her one when they put out a casting call for Jess Walton's character. So I could see why she did that, because, you know, if everybody says, oh, that's Eric Braeden, yeah, but she has seniority on that show.
And that's the thing. Why is that? Oh, that's Eric Braeden. Oh, that's Anthony Gary. But you leave off Jeannie Francis and Melody Thomas Scott. Victor would not be anywhere near as popular without Melody fucking Thomas Scott. So it's like, why? Yeah, I mean, yeah, the magazines might put him on the cover by himself, but the fans who are hooked on the show got hooked on the romance of Victor and Nikki. That's what kept him from being, you know, just another day player, for God's sakes. I mean,
even if she isn't your Ashley.
Okay, anyways.
Yeah, I prefer Ashley and Victor, but not anymore. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm so glad Ashley is out of that orbit. They wrecked that fairy tale for me nice and good. It's like,
They've also Nikki wrecked.
And have him.
They've also wrecked that for me also, because I'm like, she kept bringing it up. You know, he wanted me dead. I'm sorry, but ain't no man was going to try to sniff around the kid after he said, I wish you wanted a slap. I would have told you F off and have a nice day. But no, back to Mel. I mean, it looks as though she, you know, read between lines, she did what she did to see what Eric was going to do. But at the same time, you know, it looks like she may be rolling up snake eyes, you know? I can understand why she did that, but at the same time, Sony's not playing. So I just hope Sony, you know, gives her a contract and she takes the pay cut like everybody else, you know, is doing.
Jillian, what do you think of William Russ joining YNR?
I mean, I'm glad. This is one of the reasons why I'm glad YNR got Eric re-signed, because before that news broke, I laughed because I'm like, okay, everybody is pulling some, you know, they are in this horse race. You know, if you look around, AMC tried it with with Jamie Luna. They got Rebecca Budig back. GH has some killer people in their stables. And y'all got the Boy Meets World daddy. I'm like, oh my God, that's your contingency plan? Okay. B&B has Sarah Brown and Rick.
I think that they were. I don't think YNR was looking at that as like some let's get a big stunt cast moment. I think they were just trying to cast who they thought was best for that character. But
I don't think it's a stunt cast, but I'm like, you know, you would think they would try to pull a big name to deflect from this Eric Braeden.
Well, there have been so many articles. I apologize if I'm not quoting you correctly, but one article I read said that Bill Devane was interested in the role.
Oh, don't tell me that.
I just lost it, because I was like, I would... You know, people think I'm doing that over Jonathan Jackson. I would lose my mind if Gregory Sumner came to dinner with me.
Can you imagine he and Victor one-on-one? Oh, Eric Braeden would have a fit. I don't like him talking to me. No, he'd have a fit because he would bring it. He would take it to the head. I'm like, William Russ, I'm sorry. I only know him as the Boy Meets World daddy, you know?
And Bill Devane's acting style was so smooth that Gregory Sumner would do dirty shit and never even talk. Like, he'd be talking like, he reminds me of Trevor St. John, actually. He'd be like, he'd take your company and screw your wife and be like, yeah, that sucks for you. And it would still be badass. No blustering, no, how dare you. I mean, you know, you don't always got to do all that chest pounding. But
wasn't he on 24 recently? He was on 24 for a while.
YNR could have bought
That right there lets you know that, okay, you showing out, it's bigger names than you out there wishing you were gone and let that role go. I mean, we saw with Jill, what's her name? Tom Cruise's chick from Top Gun was like, you know, you thinking you gonna leave and go what? And do what?
Go where?
They didn't remake it on Golden Pond.
Well, speaking of people going places, I'm going to use this as a segue to Bold and the Beautiful, where Spencer Publications swallowed Forrester, and the Forrester family.
So does Donna.
That's true. And the Forrester family isn't too happy with the circumstances in which they now find themselves. Jillian, what do you think?
Look, we don't have corporate storylines no more with the Bell show, so I liked it. Bill told that damn Rich, look, you don't have to like it. You don't have to respect You don't have to like me, but you will respect me and my authority. And when they were like, well, we'll go somewhere else. Uh-uh, sucker. I got you locked and loaded in a contract. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Well, here's my question about it, because it seems like the control of Forrester Creations, who owns it, changes every 9 to 12 months. But now that it's a subsidiary of Spencer Publications, how in the world who are they going to bring in next to one-up Bill Spencer? It just seems, or how
that
are they going to get
Eric Braden's contingency plan.
I'm going to go to Bold and the Beautiful. No.
She's just kidding.
Not so. Hey, she is.
No, I am. So, no, don't do that. I don't know. I guess, you know, they'll probably have Stephanie come in and save the day like they usually.
Well, where's Stephanie going to get the money to buy out Spencer Publications?
I mean, this might be a long-term situation. I mean,
I hope it is. I actually do.
This is my theory. Brad Bell is listening to all the fans who want the real Victoria Newman back, so he's going to want Katie to be the real Victoria Newman.
Oh, she was so... I just wanted her to hold check, Donna, because what the hell does Donna do besides give Eric some honey?
I told you.
Nothing. She squeezes her honey. That's what she does. She squeezes.
You can take that any.
I'm mad at you, Donna. Walking like a dog.
I'm not either, but what does she do?
Nothing.
She is Eric's muse, and if I need to explain to you what she does for him, then we'll do that after the podcast.
Oh, shut up, you. But, yeah, I like the storylines. I was like,
Donna is out of place, though. Every time they even have her reaction, I find myself going, shut up, Donna.
She's like, you're ruining our company. You don't design. You don't make the executive decision.
Oh, and she said, we'll be employees. I'm like, aren't you already just an employee?
And did you hear that, how he has given stock to the Forrester grandchildren? So that entire family, down to like a 2-year-old, has like.
Well, usually when that happens, that's what happens with the buyout. He just, you know what all it is. And I was thinking about that because, you know, I worked for a corporation that went through a merger. He just took the money that he was going to give them. He decided what money, you know, what percentage of stock. And he said, okay, I'll just go ahead and make this sound better by putting it in their kids' names too. But he made, you know, whatever dollar amount of the stock, that he just broke that down. I mean, that just, you know, most of the times it would have just been to the shareholders. But also the Forrester grandchildren probably own stock in the company. I mean, because they, you know, there have been trusts. And they do. They change that shit up so many. I mean, I lose count of, you know.
That's like Jabot.
Where does
that's
this
like
leave
Jabot.
Jackie M? How will Jackie M even compete against Spencer
Luke,
Publications?
Is this business?
Well, you want to talk corporate storylines. I mean, show this week that
theorize about how they're, like, they're real.
Hey, they were worried at Jackie M this last week about if Forrester.
That is a classic B&B stunt. Whenever something's going on at Forrester, they have the Spectre gang commented. It used to be, I mean, it was formula. Sally would be over there. There's a lot going on at La Forrester today. Really?
You know, yeah.
Side between Brooke and Taylor, Ducky. What are they going to do? I don't know.
I thought she calls him Bucky. I thought it was Bucky.
Whatever. You know, that's just their. That has been their. That's, we're a 30-minute soap, so how can we utilize these people? So,
at
Forrester, they always have. I see, look, I just ruined it like Cinderella at. Like when you find out Cinderella is really a drag queen at Disneyland, but that's basically all that is. They always have them going.
Cinderella, a drag queen at Disneyland.
No, I'm just saying, that's like I just ruined it for you, but no, that's all they're doing with that.
Okay.
But I do want to talk about Jackie M because I want to talk about her handing her man over to little.
I know!
She served him up on a silver platter.
I don't know what they're doing because that was never Jackie Maroney. Jackie Maroney is like a fierce bitch and she haven't given it to that.
This is a smart story though because everybody's playing the cougar storyline for the, you know, the sex of it, but. You know, they're playing it for the psychological, you know, kudos to Bold and the Beautiful for even going there. But it's like there would have to be certain, like, insecurities after all the fun and the, you know, waxing his surfboard chest. There comes the reality that this is a young guy who still probably wants all the things young guys want, a family, this, that. So I think it happened overnight, and that's the thing that gets me about both. It's like, you know, the instant, I want to be a father. It's like, okay.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, okay, because I'm like, you know, as I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, hold up. Which young buck that's messing with a cougar want a kid right about now? I'm like,
the thing of it is, like, it's like,
the thing is,
it came out of nowhere. I mean, it just, I don't like that stuff, but that's, you know, that's the new reality of soaps. I mean, all of them are doing that. It's like, especially the CBS soaps, they, the doggone, what used to take 2 years of plot, you know, gets told in 6 weeks or, you know, 2 or 3 days. And what got me, I really noticed it today when it was like, because I watched the last part of the week, and on one episode, she wanted to be the mother, wanted to go ahead and do a surrogate.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
the next episode is when she was like, I don't want to do it. I'm like, that would have taken weeks. Any, you know, back when soaps were good, she would have, like, you know, let him go through the whole process. Of looking
that at the last minute, like, should have been like, I can't.
I really want to convey to Barbara Bloom, because this is, I see this in all the CBS soaps, this must be a network directive. I'm sure it's some of that, oh, fans have no attention span, so we have to tell the stories faster. The ones of us who are sticking around, we don't like that. We have attention spans. Everybody is not on Ritalin. It's like, we can watch a story play out. We watch True Blood. It takes a full 13 weeks for True Blood to tell an arc. And, you know, we don't have to see 5 years worth of story told out in 5 days.
Me, I think that As the World Turns was its test dummy, so to speak, for that whole, you know, let's tell everything in a short amount of period, and they're starting to scatter it all over the rest of their soaps. They're doing it with B&B now, and I wouldn't be, you know, I'd be, in a way, I would be surprised, but I wouldn't be surprised if Young and the Restless starts that way.
Well, they did it with Young and the Restless just this last week when Billy goes from not having the Restless style to having Restless style.
Well,
it was less
you
than
know,
a week. I mean,
they do that,
I
yeah.
Wanna,
I mean, can Jill, I go, what's her name brought that in? Old what's-her-face. Lynn Marie Latham, you know, she sped the hell up out of Y&R.
Can I go back to one thing about you guys had mentioned Jackie and being indecisive?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been watching it as long as you guys, but when I think back to the Deacon days with Deacon and Massimo, I remember Jackie as being a very indecisive character with a lot of insecurities. So for me to see her like going and changing places back and forth between what she wants to do with having a kid, I've always sort of, I mean, yes, sexually, when she's trying to seduce a man, she's always been a very empowered person. But mm-hmm. when there's been other things that have come around, I've always saw her as much more of an insecure character.
Well, she's, you know, I mean, she had to be a hooker to raise her kid, so that would probably leave a little bit of scarring. But one thing that I don't like is, and it creeps me out, I'm sorry, I would not want my mother discussing all of her business with her husband with me. I mean, especially
with
a
Nick?
Younger husband. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I think it's awesome. You love who you love, obviously. But I just think she needs to – they need to work with what they have. She and Stephanie now have a friendship. I think viewers – women love to see friendship and bonds on soaps. Why doesn't she talk to Stephanie about this? I mean, you know, I don't want to see her sit up there, oh, darling, last night –
I know.
He was really walking it like a dog with you. Enough of that. Like, can she get a Bridget? Hell, talk to Bridget. I mean, shit. I just do not want to see her telling Nick, oh, honey, Mom, you're looking rested. Oh, darling, let me tell you. Oh, and
maybe even Pam. Maybe even Pam. I'll even take Pam over that.
Oh,
thing.
Oh, do we have to? No.
We should have Pam plan Bill and Katie's
a talk
wedding
show next week. Did I during sweet?
Yeah.
That is a mess. I just
well, they maybe they did so well mess. When they went to Price is Right. They need their own talk show. Jillian, what
well,
do you
did
think?
Did y'all see Dollar Bill pimping? Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah.
With that door number two.
Yeah.
You people are pathetic.
Jillian, what do you think of Bill and Katie becoming engaged?
watch out, that's the new power couple. Look, you know, I like Bill and Katie. I really do. You know, Jamie clowned the hell out of the whole, don't you doubt my love, Katie. Look, I actually like that. I told you before, Jamie, we've been so desensitized of Love in the Afternoon. I'll take it where I can get it.
I know, I believe, you know,
see, that was I'll take it where I can get it.
More people had sex on
I am not
last
dog you for
like
that.
The other soap.
Because when I looked at those telenovelas again, that's, you know, because I watched them. I was like, I'm going to watch this shit and see why they're so popular. And that's all they do on there. Entonces. And then he grabs her and just rips her bodice. And, you know, I'm like,
that's how soap
I don't know, Brad. But the thing of it is with B&B, their ratings don't reflect that anymore. I mean, I know they're the most watched overseas, but what else is on over there? You know, a game show where people are running around and eating chicken eggs and stuff? I don't know.
I
mean, when I went to some of those channels, I see some of those game shows. I'm like, I thought our game shows were tacky.
Well, I like Bill and Katie. I think they're hot. I really do. They're the new power couple. That is Brad and Victoria 1.0 that wasn't able to be told on YNR because...
I'm just starting to wonder why Brad Bell just doesn't put, you know, no, I'm not trying to get anybody fired at YNR, but obviously, if you look at some of his casting decisions, mm-hmm. I'm just wondering why he don't go out and tell Big Brother, I want to go ahead and get the keys to the kingdom. I want Daddy's show. You know, because it's like, every time somebody gets fired from, he's like, I'm him! You know, so it's like, I don't want that to happen. I like Brad, but I do not want to see YNR, you know. Maybe as a team effort, because, you know, Brad used to be one of my favorite writers. I really don't know what happened.
Two words. Kay Alden.
Oh, no, this was before Kay. This was before Kay joined the show. He was having that girl eaten by that shark before Kay Alden. She was there when Sheila took over that militia.
I don't know.
I'm just like... don't get me started on Taylor's Last Return from the Dead. Ooh! Well, when I saw those swollen lips up under that veil, I was like,
okay. Well, I was going to try and segue while we were talking about Katie's to Katie on As the World Turns. In the Performer of the Week episode, JB, you were talking about how she gave birth and pulled the baby right
out. What is that?
Just pulled that baby out and didn't smoke it. Spread.
You know. Oh, my God. I wish they put a disclaimer, don't try this at home. Like, what
and then she turned out the Price is Right.
Well, the Price is Right's ratings went up. Did you hear about that? They went up the most they've been up in a year, but I almost have to wonder if that's because they were being replayed in two time slots until Let's Make It Feel came on. But anyway, so Katie had the baby, and Friday's episode ended with Jack basically shooting Brad.
Why did he shoot Brad? I missed it. What happened? Like, what
Henry Coleman had been trying to launder money with the Stenbeck fortune. Barbara put an injunction on the money so that he couldn't do that. So mobster Alan Quartermain, Uncle Ralphie, was going to be the money launderer, and Lucy Coe, Audrey, was supposed to be his, you know, helping facilitate that. Well, when Henry couldn't get the money, you know, he's burned down, or he set a restaurant on fire to try to teach, you know, to basically to scare Henry. So Henry sleeps with Barbara Ryan to try to get her to unass his money. And I'm still at a shock of how Barbara could get an injunction when she wasn't his wife anymore. So basically, make a long story short, Henry told Katie about, you know, had this mobster going to kill him if he didn't get this money. So Katie Peretti, 17 months pregnant, decides the best thing to do is would it be behind door number one, call your super cop sister? B, behind door number two, call your criminal brother who probably has criminal friends who can help you? Or C, take your silly pregnant behind and go confront the mobster on a roof and tell him that your sister is the chief of police and that you will have him arrested if he doesn't leave Henry alone. What would you pick, Jillian?
I think I would pick one and two.
No, you wouldn't win on the As the World Turns show.
Obviously.
Katie took her pregnant ass and went up on the roof and tried to be, you know, Billy Badass. But, no, I enjoyed it. I'm clouded, but I enjoyed As the World Turns this last week. In fact,
thank you. That's what I wanted you to clarify, because you don't tell no
As the World, no, it was, yeah, I had to, my disbelief was so suspended. I mean, you know, it'll never get back in school. But I liked it, you know. And Katie has always been a bit of a nitwit, you know, so I guess I could buy her being that stupid. But
so
it gave really good cliffhanger drama that I haven't seen.
So Henry pretty much is the reason why.
Yes.
Brad is
dead. Yeah, Henry is trying to figure. You know, Henry goes over. He convinces Barbara to. You know, finally he drives home the point after Audrey had tried to kill Barbara with arsenic. You know, Henry stops his mom from poisoning her, and then he basically tells her what's going to happen to Katie if he doesn't get this money. So Barbara goes with him to get him the money from his trust, to get him the money from the settlement from Stenbeck. Meanwhile, Rosanna and Craig, their whole affair has been exposed, and Jack is drinking because he's trying to deal with having to tell Carly that her sister is a hoe dog, just like she was a hoe dog with Mike Autumn years ago. And then you have, and Jack was also drinking because him and Billy Reed were, Janet had gotten into an argument because of the fact that he didn't want to raise that stray baby. That girl lost the baby anyway. Somebody, they're playing football. That was a lame scene. Oh, my God. They went to Chicago for the abortion. And this just shows what chicken shits P&G are. You know, she doesn't go in for the abortion. And she and Parker go take a walk. And some kids are playing football. They just run into the girl and knock her over. And she miscarries. So I didn't enjoy that part. I was like, wow, cop out much? So, anyway, so they're dealing with all of that, but Julie Pinson kicked ass in those scenes. So Jack is all distraught and drinking. And
hypocritical Jack.
Yeah, well, now he's off duty, but off duty. But you know, at the end of the week, the climax, you know, they find Henry discovers where Katie is being held. Brad is on his way there, and Henry is, soap characters always tell secrets in broad daylight. So he's standing in the middle of the damn road talking about, don't tell the police, but Katie is in this warehouse. Don't bring any police because the mob will act a fool. And who walks up behind him? Jack. What about the mob and Katie? Oh, don't go, Jack. Shut up, Henry. What the hell is Katie? Okay, the mob has her in this warehouse. So Jack, you know, who has been drinking, heads over to handle this on his own. And Janet goes, you've been drinking. Shouldn't you wait for somebody else? I can't. I'm Jack. I'm G-Man. So,
God, no.
Over there, Alan Quartermain, who bless his heart. Y'all know I love Stuart Damon. But he couldn't hold that woman on the Style Network hostage, the woman who's going through her weight loss journey, let alone big strapping Brad. I'm sorry, the man is 70 years old, and he got this little pea shooter pistol, and, you know, he got this gun on Brad's neck, and the whole time, the way he's holding it, I'm going, why don't Brad just knock that gun out of his hand? So,
George Damon told me to tell you, I know about the mob. I was all G-H.
He did have a couple of funny lines, like his niece wanted to take him to the hospital, and he's like, I hate doctors. So I said, well, but anyway, make a long story short, Jack shows up, and oh boy, the mobster uses Brad as his shield. Jack fires and shoots his brother, and that's
No! Wow! You're gonna have Jack.
It was good.
And then Carly gonna come back and give him some good and make him live again. Oh!
Yeah. And you know what? I'm enjoying Craig and Rosanna, but they're getting rid of Rosanna. It's like, I never can
really?
Like.
Oh, yeah, I she's really taking off.
I can never like As the World Turns. If y'all remember, I wrote that post like a year ago, As the World Turns, damn good soap opera. And that was because of what? Emily and Casey and Holden and Carly. Well,
it's over a year now. It's almost a year and a half.
Yeah. Every time I like this show, though, they do some ignorant shit. So I'm like, I liked it this week, but I'm like, I don't even know if I can do it. I started to write a blog post because I want to, you know, help them out. You know, the CBS, you know, they ain't even lying like they did with Guiding Light. CBS is like, yeah, we're going to cut this one too. So it's like, I want to try to be positive, but I'm like, if I say I like this, it'll all be changed. So I'm just like, I don't know. Because I'm liking Maeve. I'm like, why are you getting rid of Maeve? I like Maeve and Holden.
I saw some, was it last week when Lily, like, they were having the little smackdown when she was like they met up and she was like, Holden, you know, she tried to, like,
that was just last week.
Yeah.
Like, she let her know.
Damien bought her a drink and was like, you know, basically tell her, keep on doing what you're doing. I mean, I like that quadrangle. I don't know why they need to get rid of her.
I kind
of
like that bitch.
They might be getting rid of her for when Carly returns so that Carly.
But they don't have to do that, Luke. It don't have to be chess pieces like, get rid of this one because of this one is coming in.
Do you sound like Brian Franz with that mentality?
They, you know, it's not prime time where people come on for arcs. I mean, it's a soap opera. Usually when you come on, I mean, yeah, people come on for arcs with a soap, but if they click, you keep them. It's like, I like Maeve, you know, and God knows I like Rosanna with Craig. I haven't liked Craig since. I'm like, I mean, well, since he took over, y'all know I did not like the character. I mean, him as the character, but now I do. I'm like, I like Craig and Rosanna. Now she's leaving. It's like, come on, As the World Turns. Y'all ain't paying attention to nothing. It's like, they're just in, like, this zone of, okay, let's do what's on our page. They need to start paying attention to what is working and what isn't working, you know? That's one thing I'll give Brad Bell. He knows how to turn on a dime if fans balk of a story.
Steffi and Rick. They don't even mention that kid, their relationship anymore. Hallelujah.
You know, it's like, when and maybe we're not saying it loud enough, because I know I don't blog about As the World Turns anymore, because I'm going to be honest, I kind of put it in my head that maybe it's just because, you know, fighting for soaps when they aren't fighting for themselves is exhaustive, when you don't have any cooperation or any, you can scream from the rafters about a soap, but when their publicist act a fool or don't get back to you, it's like, and I'm not talking about As the World Turns because I've never contacted their publicist, so let me say that, but you know, just it just gets exhaustive
in general. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, it's like, why do I need to fight this hard for this damn soap when they ain't fighting for themselves? They should really be trumpeting As the World Turns everywhere they can. They should be trumpeting One Life to Live. They should be trumpeting all of these shows, and they're not. It's like, what do publicists at any of these soaps really do? You know, now Guiding Light, I'm going to go on and give them their props. When they got into trouble, they did what a soap should do in trouble. They screamed it from the rooftop. Yeah, it should be before. But you know, I'm going to be honest with that soap. Guiding Light was one of the first ones to do the, you know, all that online stuff, and I didn't understand it back then, and I really still don't. But now I'm learning, because it's like, basically, for your soap to succeed, you need to be able to tweet it, toot it, and gleep it into somebody's phone. But, you know, I remember Ellen, you know, she was big on that kind of stuff. She wasn't big on story. That was the problem with her. I think she had all that down pat, but she wasn't big on story.
Well, this just in from Twitter. Carly arrived in Salem on Days of Our Lives.
Yes, she did. Well, that was a good segue.
Well, I was trying. So Jillian, sorry. What'd you think of Carly's return to Salem?
Carly returned to Salem. I mean, y'all know I like the character Carly, but did it have to be so long and drawn out? I mean, let her ass return, shit.
Yes, it does, Barbara Blue. People won't tell a story.
You know what? I am not speaking to you anymore. How dare
you call me? Are you retarded? Didn't you just hear me say I want slower stories?
No.
In a rushed and shoddy way. I have never been treated so badly in all of my life.
I cannot believe you called me Barbara Bloom. I'm very
You were mad, I would punch you in the face.
Shut You don't got to let that fool you, sweetie. We can do that outside. I want to see y'all gonna cost me to roll up to CBS Studios and act like a damn fool.
Stop. I love that video, by the way. I, you know, oh my God, if you were a man, I would punch you in the face. Jesus, take the wheel. Go ahead,
okay.
Eric. I'm well, mad at Eric. You know,
Carly may not have punched anybody in the face, but she sure did stab someone. Vivian returns soon.
If you were mad, I'd stab you in the back.
Please, don't let that fool you. Don't let that gender fool.
Have you seen some of those preview pictures of Louise Sorrell for her return? She looks fantastic. Yeah.
Carly gonna get it with Vivian. Come.
Well, I can't wait to see Bo see Carly next week. I can't wait.
Someone gave me a little sneaky peeky of next week's show. Trust. I'm like, they going for it now. This is a fucking ball game. What happened? Do you want to hear about the little sneaky peeky or no?
Sure.
Well, Carly, I don't know how the hell she finds out where Bo lives. She finds out where Bo lives. And
the internet. People can find you on the internet, let me tell you.
No, you can't. But anyways, she finds out where Bo lives, and she breaks in while Bo is there. And Bo's like, Bo said it's true. You done broke into the wrong house. He tackles the shit out of Carly. He's like, And she's like, hey, sorry to drop into you like this. And he's just like, what? They doing it. Yes, they know. You know those two have.
Okay, you know what? I ain't for the cloud days, but Sammy Brady came home and broke into the house, too.
Yeah, but they...
And Alice took over the role.
Yeah, well, they didn't pull a... Well, Bo didn't pull a gun on Carly. He just tackled her ass to the ground. Oh. I just liked it because, hey, you know... They had that chemistry, so he got a flat. I'm like, damn, Bo, you got a flat on her back already. Like, Fancy Face ain't even gone, and you got Carly on her back already. You fresh.
Well, Fancy Face is acting a fool, and I'm the biggest Bo and Hope. Love Bo and Hope, but, you know, I don't like them writing Hope to this stupid breakup. It's like.
I'm still confused. Okay, I want to know from Mr. Days of Our Lives, Jamie. Why the hell have Bo and Hope broken up? Like, what is behind that? I'm still confused.
She's mad at Bo about that little baby. I don't know. Shit. Something about when that baby got kidnapped. The Bo and Hope breakups never make sense. They always just break them up for some plot-driven thing. And, you know...
It's starting to get a little...
It's always like... You know, at least she didn't walk in and think Bo was sleeping with somebody when he was asleep. That's how they used to break him up.
Like, was it that island that Bo
There
got
is never that any really yeah. character-driven motivation behind breaking Bo and Hope up.
Okay, so, I only got the gist, like, it had to do something, like, didn't Bo not want to pay for the ransom or something? And
yeah, it was something to do with that little gal was gone missing. I don't even like that baby. Hope and Bo have two babies. I don't pay attention to that third baby. Sean Douglas and Zach. And I want JT to come home. I'm gonna be honest. Like, I just think of Sierra as like this kid, like, okay, we killed Zach, so we gotta have this one. I'm like, Adrian, I might like her, but I don't pay attention to Sierra. Jason, she's not Sailor Man and she's not little Zach.
Sailor Man need to come from Port Charles and come on home.
Well, they got somebody from Port Charles who could play Sailor Man who's out of a job. Greg Vaughn.
You go. That's a good idea.
And then all the Greg Vaughn fans can stop being mad at me. Because I'm sorry, because I love Lucky Spencer.
Yes, my Lucky's coming home.
He hadn't been on that show in over a decade. He's back. Okay.
back to Days of Our Lives this last week. Nicole is trying to escape town. Jillian asked this in the Performer of the Week episode. How in the world did Sammy come up with $50,000? But I am looking forward to the moment that Sammy finds out because they keep building this up where it's one of those things where Nicole, you don't let anybody take your child from you. And Every single time Sammy says that, I think to myself, wait till Sammy finds out. The slap that Carrie gave Sammy at the wedding will be nothing.
No. A slap? No. Sammy need to bust her head open. She need to punch in her mouth.
Sammy needs to revert to form. Not just a punch. Sammy needs to dedicate her life to destroying Nicole as only Sammy Brady could.
Yes, because we all know Sammy can scrap. We know Sammy can scrap.
Oh, Sammy is the best villain in Days history. I'm sorry, I'm going to get clout for that. But Sammy, if we were going to put them up against each other, Sammy versus Stefano versus Victor, I'll put my money on Sammy Brady every time.
Oh, no, boy. Victor could almost kill his kid.
Sammy made Victor have a stroke.
That was on purpose.
The mom tried to gun Sammy down at Greta's coronation, and she ran across the room and caused everybody else to get shot. And I do miss that Sammy. I know she's got 75 children, so they can't really write her.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you have.
I don't believe that. Dorian Lord has a ton of children and nieces and whatever. They can still let her be a bitch.
Yeah, but you know, I guess they're doing the whole transition thing of when you.
No, you brought it up. That's my thing. Sammy has 70 million kids, but can lend out money willy nilly like that. Ain't got no job.
Her stepfather is a billionaire.
I don't care. I wasn't giving it to that hoe. No. Mm-mm. So, anybody try to ask me for
money? And her mama is a wealthy shrink.
Well, you thought you was going to say wealthy slut for a minute there. No. I was going to say, stop.
You were the only shrink in town for many decades in a town like Salem.
Taylor's the only shrink in L.A., apparently.
Child, please. I'd rather have 40 voices in my head than go to Taylor's ass. Ooh.
I always wanted to go to Marlena because she would mew like a cat. She just seems so soothing.
On that note,
Jamie, what's wrong with you?
She was, Marlena was that mom you wanted, even though she was kind of slutty and would sleep with people on.
Kind of slutty. She got down on that conference room table.
Yeah, let's but not she would just, that.
You know, her kids, she'd be like, even with her stepkids, even, you know, even though Brady used to hate Marlena, that's what I loved, Kyle Lauder. I loved when Brady hated Marlena. That was my friends would call each other every day because Brady was such a bastard to Marlena.
Dressed up like Zorro and busted to that. Well, which restaurant was that? I don't know the restaurant.
You are a slut. You know, it was totally ridiculous because Marlena didn't break up John and Isabella. Isabella took a dive.
Yes.
It was so good. I love that shit. And like me and my friend Amy, we still to this day, she don't even watch Days anymore. She don't even watch soap. She's one of those people, I don't have time for soaps anymore. I'm like, why I watch them? She's like, I don't watch them. So, there was a scene where Brady had, what was Brady doing to Roman? You know, because Brady and Roman used to hate each other too.
Yes.
That was back when they still used the Salem play set. And Julie and Jennifer were having lunch at Salem Place. I believe it was Julie and Jennifer. It might have been Maggie. They used to, but Roman, like, Brady had, like, okay, it was like Roman had caused Brady to, like, become crippled or something. And Brady was chasing him with them crutches through the mall, yelling, "You did this to me, Roman! You did this to me, Roman!" And then it cuts to Jennifer looking like, "What the hell is going on?" And Roman walks up and is like, "Y'all need to talk to him." And it's so funny because, like, I'm always making fun of Josh Taylor's accent, but when he's mad, when the character Roman is mad, it comes out more than anything else. It's like, you know, he's supposed to be this Irish guy from the Midwest, and he's going, "Y'all need to talk to him." And so, like, he's, like, passing by they're like, Ruben, what's that, Brady? Y'all need to talk to him. I don't know what's wrong with Brady. And he just rushes on by like he's running from Brady. And here comes Brady. All them crutches, Ruben! And Jennifer's like, what is going on? I miss James Riley.
So what happened with Marlena? Like, was Marlena there?
When?
Jamie went off course, Jillian. Jamie.
Oh, no. Marlena. How did they end up liking each other again? I think.
No. I thought was Roman rushing and Marlena was behind.
No, Marlena wasn't anywhere. Marlena wasn't anywhere to be found. Marlena was trying to keep him away from Belle.
Oh, yeah. I remember that because she thought Belle. He was. Yeah, that was stupid. I was like, he ain't hurt no Belle. Moron.
On that note, we would encourage you to send your comments to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Check us out on Twitter. Where can they find you, Jillian?
Y'all know how to find me. You just type in my name, Jillian Bo. I get Twitters from everybody. I accept them all, good and the bad.
Jamie, where can they find you on Twitter?
Chocolate porn star.
No, oh. No, I don't think so.
Jamie _ Giddens, JAMEY_GIDDENS.
Yeah. And I'm one of the last to have joined Twitter amongst the DC gang. You can find me at twitter.com/Luke_Kerr. Thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
But don't be trying to go and copyright porn, the chocolate porn star.
I don't want to copyright that. Y'all find me twitter.com/Jillian.